Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning, it comes from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided up the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth with wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate, for the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he is back home safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home and you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, fill us with your spirit that we may feel your presence and love for us. Help us to open our hearts and our minds that we may understand your unconditional love for us. And help us to keep our focus on you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day. And this is the third time that I've been asked to preach on Father's Day. So maybe this time I'll get it right. Don't count on it. I do want to do something a little different than what has been done recently that Pastor Debbie has done. Some of you got the emails. I had asked Phyllis to send out an email asking people to send in their favorite picture of them and their father, or of their fathers. So instead of looking at me while I read my sermon, I felt this was a nice way to honor our earthly fathers, whether they are still with us or they've moved on to be with our heavenly father. So while we listen about the love our heavenly father has for us, we have a little PowerPoint that is going to come on the screen now. The title of the scripture today is the parable of the lost son, or better known as the prodigal son. Now, I've heard countless sermons on the prodigal son, the young brat who wanted to just get out of town. When he said to his father, "Give me my share of the estate," he was telling his dad, "I don't need you anymore." In fact, according to the customs of that time period, he was pretty much telling his dad that he wanted him to die. Think about that for just a moment. Can you picture yourself looking at your dad and saying, "Thanks, but can you just die so I can get on with my life?" Pretty rough if you ask me. So he became excommunicado by his own hand. This is the first glimpse as to what type of man the father is, because he didn't get upset. What the younger brother said to his father was a huge insult. The father could have had the young man stoned to death. Instead, the father shows great compassion and divides up his estate and gives the younger brother what he is entitled to, a third of the estate. The older son, or the firstborn, would receive a double amount, standard for the custom. But notice that the young man didn't leave immediately. Verse 13 starts, "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and beat feet." He is pretty much out of there. Now, the young son must have known the father pretty well. He must have known how his father would react to the request. After all, it was a major insult. Jesus was using this parable to give us an insight into his father's personality. Now, we know much about God, but do we know him? What's he like? What are his interests? We often don't know much about our parents. Think about how well you know your father. About a little over a year ago, my son and I drove up to West Virginia. I have a buddy that was in the Marine Corps with me, and he was in a bad way. Well, my son Glenn was living in Fruitland Park at the time, so I drove up and stayed with him the night before. We got up early the next morning and drove straight through to Rick and Pam Weaver's house. Trust me, he's a great friend if you consider what we were doing up there. We had to replace about 60 feet of sewer line. He couldn't get anybody to help him, so Glenn and I went up to do the work. We drove up one day. We spent the next 2 days replacing the pipe and then drove back. We spent the day working, and at night while I slept, my son spent a lot of time talking with Rick and Pam. The work wasn't easy. We had to bust through a lot of rock, but we got it done. On the way home, I could feel my son staring at me while I was driving. I finally looked at him and I said, "What's wrong?" He looked at me and he said, "I learned more about you in the last 3 days than I've known in 29 years. I'm not sure what they talked about, but I told him, whatever it was, don't tell your mother." We're not told why the young son left, only that after he had squandered all that he had, he was in a bad way. Jesus tells us, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And I'm here starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and he went to his father. To me, the very next verse is the most telling. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. What does that tell you about the father? He never stopped looking or hoping. He ran to his son. I recently read a book, and his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, Henry Nouwen writes, "For most of my life, I have struggled to find God, to know God, to love God. I have tried hard to follow the guidelines of the spiritual life. Pray always, work for others, read the scriptures, and avoid the many temptations to dissipate myself. I have failed many times, but always tried again, even when I was close to despair. Now, I wonder whether I have sufficiently realized that during all this time, God has been trying to find me, to know me, to love me. The question is not, how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by Him? The question is not, how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known by God? And finally, the question is not, how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God?" I want you to hear those questions again. I want you to get this. The question is not, how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by Him? The question is not, how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known by God? And finally, the question is, how am I to love God? Not how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God? All this time, God has been trying to know me, to love me. God is looking into the distance for me, trying to find me and longing to bring me home. We can easily substitute the word us for me in those statements. God is looking into the distance for us, trying to find us, trying to bring us home, each one of us. God awaits our return and is always ready to forgive. His forgiveness is complete. In other words, the sin is forgiven and forgotten. We are restored to full membership in the family. When the son requested his part of the estate, he was dead to his father. He was kicked out of the family. But we are restored to full membership in his family. And God rejoices in our return. Look at the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15:3, where the shepherd loses one of 100 sheep. He leaves 99 in open country just to go find the one. And then he has a big party to celebrate the fact that he found it. Or in Luke 15:8, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coins." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So the father has a big celebration, letting everyone know how happy he is that the younger son has returned home. Now, in a fairy tale, this is where we could end the story with, and they lived happily ever after. But there were two sons. The story started out, there was a man with two sons. We know about the younger son. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided the property between them. The older son received his part of the estate at the same time the younger son. So technically, the older son owns everything that he and his father now live on. The older son is coming in from the fields, and he hears the music and gets a report from one of the servants that his brother has returned home safely and that the party is going on. What's the older brother's response to this? He becomes angry and refuses to join the party. This is another major insult to the father. He humiliates the father because in front of all the people at the celebration, his father has to go out to him He refuses to come in. In both cases, both sons, the father had to go out to them. The older son says to his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. I find it interesting that the father has already given the son his share, so he owns everything. It's evident that his devotion to his father has been motivated more by his own self-interest. Another point of view is that he has become so self-centered so self-righteous that he cannot forgive or forget the sins of his younger brother. He can't understand why his father would lavish such grace on someone who treated him so terribly. You can almost picture him stamping his feet, going, it's not fair. It's as though he's been trying to earn his father's love rather than coming to an understanding that he already has it, that was there all the time, but he was just too busy to realize it. One constant through this story is that through all the grief from both of his self-centered sons, what was the father's reaction? He showed compassion, grace, mercy, and unconditional love. Jesus left the ending of the story open. We don't know what happened to the older son. We just know that whether we are far off or still with him, God loves us unconditionally and is waiting for the time that we will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He's waiting for you. Now, in February of 1990, country artist George Strait released a song that became one of my favorites. At the time, my daughter Amanda was 19 months, and my son Glenn was 6 months. But the song really hit home for me. The song was titled Love Without End. Amen. And the last verse of the song is very apropos for today. It goes, last night I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates. When suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they know the things I've done, they'll never let me in. Then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. He said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. And that's God's love. It's a love without end. Amen. Let us pray. Father, loving Lord, creator of all things, with the love you have for us, keep us from drifting away from you. Fill us with your spirit that we may not choose our own way, but the way you would have us go. Take our hearts in your hands and turn them back to you. And let the Father in the parable welcome us back with open arms. We ask in Jesus' name.